I'm really excited for the backyard barbecues. This is our first one of this year, by the way. So you definitely haven't missed out on anything if you're going to come. It's going to be our first one of this summer. So thank you, John and Beth, again, so much for doing that. And we've been doing some music. I always love hearing the different groups that are coming up. Marshall and I have been forming a little bit of a funk group. I like getting funky, playing some songs. And there are a lot of funk songs that I listen to and think, what on earth is this about? Like, what are these lyrics? And so we'll talk, we'll debate, like, what do you think this song is about? What do you think's going on over here? Not necessarily funk, but we were talking about Call Me Al recently and how much of a like fever dream stream of conscience that song is. We've got a man walks down the street. He says, "Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot at redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight, far away from my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Belly, Beer Belly, get these mutts away from me. You know I don't find this stuff amusing anymore." And then the next verses have absolutely nothing to do with that. Like, it's just this weird, what on earth is that song about, right? So we are starting a new series that we're calling The Sound of Scripture, where we're going to look at some of our worship songs, and maybe there's a line that we sing together in worship where you're going, what on earth is that about? Why are we singing that? One that immediately comes to mind, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." Ebenezer? Like Ebenezer Scrooge? What are you doing here, right? Like, what are these lyrics? What do these lyrics mean? What are we talking about here? Let's take a closer looker. And I really want to, like, this is what I feel very passionate about. I often lead worship. I love worship. I could just stay in that posture all the time if I could, and try to. But as we worship together, I really want to shift us from just reading lyrics off of the screen into understanding what we're singing and actually singing it to God, offering it up to God. As we understand the lyrics that we're singing, I think it'll change the way that we worship. And as our worship changes, I think you'll notice that your relationship with God changes, your formation will change. It really matters what we're singing. I've gone to a couple worship conferences now through the Vineyard, and there somebody pointed out, nobody walks away humming the sermon. But oh yeah, that's kind of true. Like, I learn all so much through the sermon, and I hope you get something out of this message. But sometimes what sticks with us, the little thing that just sticks, is a line from a song that we sang. And so again, are we understanding what we're singing? As worship leaders here, we take our song choices pretty seriously. We realize that we are literally putting words in your mouth. Have you thought about that? Like, as you sing and worship, like, am I just singing the words on the screen, or am I absorbing them, offering them to God? Can I sing these words? I know there's been several times in my life where I'm singing about the faithfulness of God, and I'm like, I don't know that I can sing this right now. That's not how I'm feeling. Like, singing "It Is Well" right after my mom passed away, it was hard. It was a, can I sing this? Can I mean this? And ultimately, the more I've sat in worship, the more I've sat with God, I definitely get to that place where I'm like, you know what? I can sing "It Is Well," even in the midst of really, really hard times. So we're paying attention to things like, are we singing our story? Are we singing the story of God, the story of creation and Jesus' time here on earth and his death and his resurrection? Are we singing about who God is? If somebody came into our church and had no clue who God is, would they walk away with a better understanding of who God is through our songs? Are we singing to and about all three parts of the Trinity? Would someone walk away with our service with a better understanding of who God is and how we can interact with him? Are we singing songs for the season that we're in? Is there a song for somebody here that's grieving? Is there a song for somebody here that's celebrating? Are we singing songs together, or is each person kind of singing their own unique thing? It's all, you know, God, I, God, me, right? These are all things I'm thinking about. So again, what we sing matters. We might not realize that as we worship, we're being formed, but we are. What we believe about God, what we believe about our circumstances changes as we sing these things to God. So this morning, I asked Amanda to lead the song, Come Alive, which is Dry Bones, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Particularly in the chorus, it says, up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. So is this just kind of a cool metaphor, or what is this talking about here, right? It is a scripture, so we're going to look at Ezekiel together today. I know, going way back. So just a little bit of context before we jump into our verses for today. So Israel is in exile. Jerusalem, the temple has been destroyed. And Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, from chapter 34 onwards, is all about this promise that God has made to his people. It's this promise and hope in the restoration that he's going to bring. So we see in like chapter 34 of Ezekiel, where he talks about the Lord will be Israel's shepherd, and there will be a new David that comes. Ezekiel 36, verse 25, I just want to read this. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Sounds pretty similar to what we were just talking about. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Pentecost, having this new spirit in us, guiding us. So Ezekiel's talking about this new hope, this new promise. And then we're going to look at chapter 37, where God kind of gives a picture of what this could look like. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37, we're going to be hanging out there for a little bit. Otherwise, the words will be up on the screen. So Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. So God picks Ezekiel, he brings him to this valley, and is showing him a lot of dry bones. And when we say dry bones, we're talking about bones that have been abandoned and left here, and I want you to think like sun-bleached almost. So when I was growing up, my grandparents lived in Estes Park and had this awesome property that just like backed up against National Park. We got into way too much trouble just being able to like explore for miles. But at one point, it's kind of icky, but we had a bear that passed away on their property. Or I think it was like just outside of their property. And so we weren't allowed to do anything about it. Like we couldn't touch it. And we just had to avoid that area for a while. Because you'd walk by and you'd be like, that's a dead bear. Uh-huh. Like you smell it before you see it. And you walk by and you're like, ooh, that's fascinating and also horrifying. You see all the different stages of decomposition and, oh, that's weird. So you walk by and there's no doubt that that's like a dead bear, right? But then I think about like, you know, Westerns, right? Where you see like the cow skull in the desert where they're trying to show like nothing lives here. And I don't know that I'd walk by a cow skull and be like, wow, that is a dead cow, right? Like it almost doesn't register that it's something that had passed away. Like it is so dead that we don't even think about, oh, that was a cow that used to be alive. You know, it's just, wow, this is a barren place. And so as we think about this valley, we're talking about dry bones. A valley where people have passed away and been forgotten about. We're walking along all these exposed dry bones. So not only are they very, very dead, probably a long time ago, but also abandoned, forgotten about. Nobody came and put these bones to rest. This is a place of death, of isolation, of abandonment, right? And yet God chooses to bring Ezekiel here and plops him in this valley of dry bones. And I don't know about you, but that does not sound like a place that I would like to be, both physically and metaphorically. Walking around, you know, I wonder what the age gap is, because like fossils, those are pretty cool, but like bones, I don't know. Like, where's that line? I think it's important that Ezekiel saw like an honest situation. And I think sometimes that's really hard for us. Like I said, I don't want to go to the places that feel dry. I don't want to hang out in places where I'm like, there's death here. Something here has been long abandoned. That's uncomfortable. I would rather hang out in a pretty garden, right? It's really, really hard to even just visit those places of dryness. And so one thing I'd like for you to just start mulling on this morning is, are there places that you're avoiding? Are there dry bones? Are there valleys in your life that you're like, I'm just going to close the door on that? I'm not going to think about that. That's scary. That's uncomfortable. I don't want to go there. Are we being, you know, kind of the ostrich with our head in the sand? Are there places that maybe God is inviting us to? Because God is pretty awesome. And as we continue reading, you'll see that there are some pretty neat things that he can do in our life. So we often avoid our valleys. We deny them. Maybe we distract ourselves from them. Or maybe even we try to fix them ourselves. Like, I'll grab my watering can. I got this. And I don't know if you saw how parched that land was, but I don't think my little watering can's going to do much, right? Some things just feel so big that we don't even know how to go about fixing it. And I think it's really interesting that the kingdom, like, begins with this dependence on God, a dependence on Jesus. And we so often encounter God's power when we stop pretending like we have everything under control. We encounter God's power when we're sitting in the valley of dry bones going, God, this is bigger than I can do. This is so much more than I can do. Those are the places that we like to, that we tend to see him move. So let's keep reading, picking up at verse 3. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? What do you guys think? I don't know. I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make the flesh come up upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. What an odd picture. What an odd scripture, right? And I think so often, as I mentioned, that kind of like wanting to fix things, many people assume that like a partnership with God means that we have all the answers. Okay, God, I found the problem and here's the solution and here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to move forward. But I think it's so interesting that when God asks Ezekiel, hey, can these bones live? Can these come to life? What does Ezekiel say? He says, only you alone know, Lord. Only you know. And I think it's, you know, the first time I read this, Marshall and I were laughing because we're like, what a cop out. Like, you know, I'm not going to say like, yes, because that's crazy. But also I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to tell God like, no, you can't do something, right? It's just really like interesting, like, I don't know, God, can they? Like, what are you going to do? But I think there's also a certain amount of humility that comes with an answer like that. Only you know, God. You alone know if these dry bones can come to life. So sometimes, like I said, we see a problem, we see that dry patch of land, and we go in and we say, okay, God, here's the plan, here's what I'm going to do. But what would it look like to shift our posture, to shift our mindset and say, God, what do you want to do here? You alone know what can come from this patch. I think it's also interesting that God could have done everything himself here, right? Like, he could have brought Ezekiel to this valley and said, want to see something cool? And, like, brought these bodies back together, right? But he doesn't. What does he do? God brings Ezekiel there and then says, prophesy over these. He pulls him into partnership with him. He could do it by himself, but he says, no, I'm going to do this with you. He invites Ezekiel to participate. The prophet speaks, and then God provides the power, right? And the Holy Spirit loves to work through ordinary people, not because we have the power, but because God does. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't know, that sounds like something that like a pastor could do, or maybe an elder could do, or I don't know. The Holy Spirit loves to work through ordinary people, through each and every single one of you. I also think there's this cool parallel to Genesis happening here, where we've got these bones, right? So God speaks things into existence in Genesis. He says, you know, let there be light, let there be land, let there be mankind, right? He speaks them into existence. What does he have Ezekiel do? He has them speak over these bones to form these bodies. And then later, you know, God forms man out of the ground, and then he breathes his life into him. Just a couple verses later, we'll see Ezekiel prophesying breath into these things. God is inviting us into the things that he's already started. So God partners with Ezekiel. We see something miraculous happen. These bodies are being put back together. I love the like visual language here, right? Of like bones rattling and the tendons are stitching back together and flesh and skin covers this thing. But we have form with no breath right now. It's not quite the same as like zombies, right? Like, I don't want you to think about zombies, but they're like, there's these forms just kind of waiting for something. And so we're picking up verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So here, remember, the same word for breath often means like breath, wind, and spirit, right? So the bones become bodies before they come alive. There's structure, and then there is breath. Then there is the spirit that comes. I think a lot of us have kind of the structure part down of our lives. We've got the form. We're doing great at that. We have the appearance of life. We've got really busy schedules. I don't know, like, I feel like I'm doing pretty good if I'm moving around and staying busy. Maybe we've got kind of our checklist of things where we're like, I've done my Christian duty because I came to church today and I attended one small group and check, 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 right? Maybe even we have like a lot of good intentions. Like, oh, in my head, I'm crushing this. Like, if I think about it, I'm doing real good because I have lots of good intentions here. But those are all just form with no like breath behind it. We need the spirit as well. It's not enough to just have the appearance of life. We need the spirit of God. So the answer here isn't just trying harder. Oh, I want to be a good Christian. I'm just going to grit my teeth and I'm going to focus real hard and I'm going to try really, really hard. I'm going to think about it really, really hard. there's a point where you say, okay, God, I can put in the system. I can do the things. I can show up. And I need you. Come with your spirit. Come with your presence. Come with your power, God. It's not about trying harder. It's about welcoming the Holy Spirit. So then if you continue reading, this is the end of our passage at verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Do you sometimes feel that way? Reading that, I'm like, oof, that hits a little close to home sometimes. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. So as we sing these songs about come alive, dry bones, this is what I want you thinking about. We remember that the promise that God made to his people. Hey, I see that you are in a place of dryness and weariness and death, and I'm going to call you up from your graves, and I'm going to restore life to you, and I'm going to restore what was wrong. We remember and rejoice in his faithfulness. We can think to all the places where maybe things have been dead and have been brought back to life for us. Dead dreams, dead relationships, dead hopes that God has brought back up. So I'm going to have the band come back up for our last song. And as we do, I just want to kind of sit with that metaphor a little bit more, with this story. So the first thing that we talked about, right, was this like diagnosis, discovering, hey, what is God doing in these dry places? Because I think sometimes it's easy for us to look and think, okay, that's a dry spot, or maybe we have a bunch of dry spots and we're like, I don't even know where to go. But God takes Ezekiel and brings him to a place. And when we talk about our dependence with God, when we talk about not forming our own plan, not fixing it ourselves, I think the best way to start that is with curiosity about where are we beginning, God? What valley are we going to? What are we doing today, Lord? And so just having that curiosity and being open to God revealing the spots that he's going to work in. So maybe there's a spot that you're like, I really, really, really want to take care of this. God, there's a dream that died, and I want you to work on that, and I want you to come and blast life into that. Maybe God's like, actually, we're going to come over here to this dead relationship first, and we're going to bring life back into that before we can talk about this other thing. So just being open. Open hands, open hearts with God to say, okay, where are you going to bring us? What's the dry place that you're going to tend to? And then remember that God partners with us. But that does mean that once he brings us to this valley, to this place of dry bones, we have to show up and we have to speak up. We have to engage with God. It's not enough to just say, okay, God, like, do your thing if you want. We listen for God, where are you moving? Because we're going to do what he's doing, right? Only what the Father instructs. We're going to listen, and then we're going to participate. If God says, speak, are you willing to speak? If God says, hey, go tell this person something, are you willing to go do that? And then we need the Spirit of God. We need to have an encounter with God. Maybe you're thinking, I've had an encounter with God. I've experienced the Spirit once, and I love that. Like, I hope that we all have that experience. But, you know, as we say in the Vineyard, like, we leak sometimes. Sometimes we lose that. And so my hope would be that we're continually being refilled with the Spirit, having new encounters with God every day. So if you feel spiritually dry, maybe you feel like you've lost hope, if you're carrying disappointments, if there's an area of your life that feels dead, or if you simply want a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, I hope that you would engage in a different way as we worship this morning. The other thing that I'd like us to consider is, you know, kind of branching out outside of ourselves. I think sometimes we need those places healed before we can dream big, but I also want all of you dreaming big. So where in our city do you see valleys? Where in Loveland do you see dry bones? Where are there places in our community where death is just the norm, the thing that we've come to accept? Are we looking around us? Are we, again, open hands saying, God, open my eyes? So we're going to sing the song here together. We're going to sing Dry Bones again. And as we worship, I want you to just read the lyrics on the screen. I want you to sing to the dry bones in your life. If there's something that God has already started stirring up into you that you're thinking about, man, this is a place that I know God's moving and I just need his power, sing to those areas. Sing to God and let him know that he is God, that we are people, that it is up to him. Sing these words and know that, like, yeah, victory belongs to him. I encourage you to just engage in a different way. Bring those places up to your mind as you offer it to him.